The outline, there is an outline, and that would be lesson four that I'm covering. And maybe they can show it on the screen. It's something that I can go through with you. I will read it rather quickly because a lot of things I cover is already I already covered in the first session. Dear Saints, let me ask you a question. Are you excited about small groups? Are you burdened for small groups? Do you have a vision of a church life that is so bustling and so robust with because of the small group? I hope so. Otherwise, this will be yet another burden, you know, we're throwing on you. Oh, do the small groups. This is the way to go. Brothers, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, we people in the recovery are different in this sense. If you go to a denomination, whatever, you know, talk about, you know, she give all she could, you know, you just go there. Nowadays, you don't even need to put on your Sunday best, really. You can just throw on your shorts and t-shirt and you can go. You go every Sunday faithfully. You listen to the sermon and you go along, whatever, and then you give your offering when they pass the plate, whatever, and maybe even sign up to do something. And that's all you're, it's required. That's all you're, it's required. But here in the Lord's recovery, we require so much. Sometimes I get tired. Well, really, really? Do I really need to do so much to get into the kingdom? You know, why can they let us relax a little bit and just sit there and someone just give us a good old sermon and, you know, give me something to help me how to get through next week and stuff like that. Brothers, because of our nature, that is a fallen condition. That is a degraded situation of Christianity, Christendom. You go to the Bible, you go to the word my, talk about requirement. Read Matthew. The Lord has nothing but requirements, chapter after chapter. You just say, oh my goodness. Well, it all depends. And that's why I started with the story of love with this nameless woman. Why would she do that? Why would she pour so much out? Why? You know, why are we here in the church life? Why are we endeavoring to preach the gospel, endeavoring to shepherd people, deal with the Lord, grow in life, you know, fulfill the Lord's New Testament commandments, be the kingdom people, prepare for the Lord's coming, build up his body. Oh my goodness, what? I didn't sign up for this. I signed up. I just got my ticket to go to heaven. That's really good for me. Well, dear saints, what can I say? What can I say? This is the Lord's recovery. And this is the Bible. This is the Bible. And saints, with all of this, so much grace has been given to us. So much love has been poured upon us. You know, that question, I did all of this. What have you done? I mean, compared to what the Lord did for us, we can never repay that, can we? We can never do enough for him. And that's what caused us to give our lives, to consecrate, even to give our marriages, our family life, for the church life. For the Lord's recovery. That's why we're doing all this, seemingly above and beyond the general situation with the Christians. But it's not, if we really see the vision, we'll realize what we give is very little. We can never repay the redemption. We are here, have been blessed to the uttermost with the heavenly blessings and of life, of eternal life. Oh my, and all the wonderful things that Christ is, this unsearchably rich one, the enjoyment of himself as our daily supply, enjoying his faithful promises to us day by day. I mean, brothers and sisters, we really need to refresh our mind, be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We are doing what we should be doing. And what we're doing is to pour out what we have, to do what we could as a noble deed on the Lord and his body today is should be a joy. What is that Psalm 909? We serve what? We serve with it, the king. What is that song? Do you all know that song? Is it 909? Sorry, huh? 909 here. No, it's not 909. We have a most glorious king. Do you know that song?
Yes.
Where is that? What number is that?
904.
904. It talks about, oh my goodness. We love to sing this song a lot. Verse 4, right? I dwell with the king for his work, it is his and not mine. He plans and prepares it for me and fills me with power divine. So duty is changed to delight and prayer into praise as I sing. I dwell with my king for his work and work in the strength of my king. All these things, yes, they are obligation. Yes, they are responsibilities. Yes, we need to serve and work for the Lord. But brothers and sisters, it all depends on your perspective and your heart. We need another generation of saints, working saints that live in this way, that would not consider these things too much. That we would rise to the occasion. Let me say this, to do something for the Lord. How about that? To do our noble deed on him. Should we not? Should we not? We have but one life. Let's give it all to the Lord. If we have two, let's give both of them to the Lord. If we have 1,000 lives, let he deserve it all. That's our motivation. All right, now this outline in front of us. Some I will skip, some I will, spend a little time. We have only 20 minutes. The purpose and one, the purpose and goal of the group meetings is the perfecting of the saints through the teaching in mutuality. That's what I just described. Okay? A, fellowship, intercession, care, and shepherding in the first section. Don't take this as a program, but it is that part of the group time, of the party, of our gathering. Are the beginning and the base of the group meetings. Without such a base of fellowship, of warmth, of togetherness, of mutuality, care, and intercession, we cannot have the effective group meetings. The group meetings is, okay, Friday night I bring salad, you bring lasagna. We'll come to meet and do something or read something. Brothers, we need a change. That for sure, we need a change. This gathering is organic. It's living. It's every week we don't know what will happen. It's not a formality. Okay? We need to rebuild our group meetings. We need to rebuild our group life, brothers. 80% of the church. Take the time to do that and learn as we go. B, however, these items in the first section of the group meetings cannot fulfill the purpose of the group meeting or then reach its goal. The goal of the group meeting is to perfect the saints. Now, don't worry, don't be thrown off by this word perfect. Oh, this heavy, heavy word. No. We should all be perfected, and we can perfect others just a little bit. Without teaching, it is impossible to reach this goal. Again, don't think about semi-annual, okay? Don't think about that as teaching. This is home teaching, mutual teaching, something new that we all need to learn to do in the church life. Then there's, if we want, in order to teach one another, we first need to know one another. I think some saints, after many years in the church life, you still don't know anybody in an intimate way. Neither have you ever opened yourself to be known by others. And so you are not blendable. You're not blending. You're just always a drop of oil in water. All right? These smaller gatherings, these relationships are, we need to cultivate that relationship. And this is where the church life is practical and personal at our level, daily level. Okay. All right. So when people know each other, there's a pleasant feeling between them and their hearts are open and softened. Since many of us who've been around have become formal. Our meetings become formal and even empty. We need a change. Our meeting need to be warm and personal and living, all right? The heart should be hot and warm. The spirit should be living, alive. It should be like this, all right? A lack of intimacy frustrates the mutual speaking and mutual understanding in the meeting. Thus, every time we come together and have a group meeting, we must warm each other up and become intimately acquainted again. We haven't seen each other for a week or a few days. Warm up again. Be kind to one another. Look after one another. How are you doing? And not just sit down and I read this holy word to you, and you read that paragraph to me without that kind of warmth and relationship. In Colossians, it says our heart need to be comforted first, then we can know the mystery of Christ. All our heart need to be comforted and warm every time we come together. Then we can come to know Christ and the spiritual things. In the group meetings, number three, we should not neglect the fellowship regarding the personal situation of the saints. However, neither should we overemphasize this fellowship. And overemphasizing of this fellowship will damage the meeting, meaning that as we do this, we don't just only do this. How are you, Brother Lee in the Vital group meeting talk about we need to know one another, who is their spouses, their family. Well, you can only spend so much time to know that, right? You can't keep asking who's your wife, who's your children. You understand, brothers and sisters, right?
Okay, so let me continue. Thank you for exercising your spirit and filling the time. You just pre-read already 10, 24, and 25. So B, the phrases consider one another, incite one another to love and good works, and exhorting one another indicate that the meeting spoken of in these verses is not a meeting for one to teach and the others to listen. This is a meeting in which all the attendants are the same, inciting and exhorting each other. This is the New Testament way to meet, right? See, in our study and experimentation, we have found that the best way to teach is to raise questions in the group meetings. By asking the proper questions and answering questions of others, we spontaneously teach, instruct, and perfect others. We really should keep our meetings from lapsing into just a brother or couple of persons kind of by default taking over. Everyone's silent, listening. It becomes a kind of, you call it Bible study or one person dominating. We have that, unfortunately. Some brother, they just have the propensity to do that. No, brothers, mutuality. And those who know more should give room to the other saints, right? And at the right time, you say something. Sometimes people will say, how do you feel, Brother Minoru? I say, I turn the question. How do you feel? What do you think? You see, I don't try to dominate. I don't try to take every opportunity to show people what I know. I rather would defer. I rather would encourage. I rather would spur this kind of mutual culture mutuality. And this matter is a matter of building. We need to build that up, okay? All right, a lot of burden is on the more mature saints to know how to be in this kind of a meetings. Okay, questions, not just strange, don't ask strange questions, of course, proper questions. And of course, answer the questions, of course, in a proper way. Sometimes we can, you know, we're careless. Sometimes we are too jestful. Sometimes we are even off point. So a lot to learn, actually, dear brothers and sisters, a lot to learn. But sisters can participate for sure. We'll get to that in a moment. All right. We need to learn not only to how to answer the questions of the new ones in the group meetings, but also how to ask questions. To ask questions in a proper way is even more difficult than to answer them. Two, if we have the burden to teach a certain item, we should not teach it directly, but turn this burden into a question. Question always stir up curiosity, a kind of seeking, you know, a kind of consideration, right? A kind of engagement. Okay. For example, we may be burdened to teach the new ones about dealing with idols. However, we should not do this as a quote-quote teacher. B, we should rather ask the saints in the group meeting how to deal with idols. This will stir up all the attendants to say something. C, there will be different kinds of answer with different points. One may say something from the word, another may say something of an experience they have in dealing with idols. Each one will say something and someone else will add even more. The result will be a very good and complete teaching concerning dealing with the idols. Okay. Three, this way of teaching by asking questions is not carried out by one person. Rather, it gives an opportunity to all the attendants in the group meetings to function. We're fostering the function. Big meetings is hard for saints to function, especially for new ones. In the small situation, my goodness, they really can join in and participate. All right. Regardless of how much one knows and how good his speaking may be, one person speaking can never compare with many answers. Four, by attending a group meeting like this every week for 1 or 2 years, the attendants will learn much. All right. I'd like to say something here You say, what kind of subjects? Where do we find subjects? Oh, endless. Sometimes a group may have a burden to cover some gospel matters. Sometimes a group may have some burden to cover some life matters. Sometimes a group have a burden to cover some truth matters, maybe. Well, it's exactly for those needs that in Taiwan Brother Lee put forth the life lessons, 48 lessons, the truth lessons. Today there are many, many volumes. And I don't mean to conduct this our kind of party meeting in a way of a class. That's not what I'm talking about. It all depends on the need, who are the participants in the group, the burden of the Lord, right? And some in a group, you need a nucleus, by the way. In a good group, you need to be sustained and guided by a nucleus. This is all organic. And this nucleus of brothers and sisters, they bear more burden for this group, to enterprise this group, to build up this group, to care for the people in this group, and even to help guide the gathering and the meeting of this group. Not to take over, not to dominate, but there to support and to facilitate. These are things we need to learn to do. All right? Brothers and sisters, if you know you acquire skill to do this, you can migrate now. So many saints who migrate who do not have such skills. They don't have people skills. They don't have group skills. They know how to build up these meetings, how to perfect the saints, how to build up a local church. They just know how to come to the meeting and kind of do their thing. But I'm talking about at this level, it's more challenging. There needs to be more learning. There needs to be more exercise. All right? Okay. The material-wise, it's abundant. Maybe because I helped to translate some of these material into English from Chinese, I'm definitely a promoter. You know, let's say the 48 life lessons, you don't even need the whole 48. Just get to know the first 24. Oh, they are just at the age-appropriate level, you know. They are just wonderful. Even for older saints, it is so refreshing, so refreshing. I would also like to say this. Resist the temptation to bring in high peak, deep, high things, especially you are here dealing with young ones, new ones, okay? What we do here is build stairs for them to get there. But sometimes we are so much ourselves into this week's holy word, and we use the meeting to actually to talk about that. And you know what is this? This is somewhat like boiling the kid in the mother's milk. You know that, right? You boil the kid in the mother's milk, too much milk, too hot, you boil them rather than in an appropriate way dispense what they need at their stage. That is a skill we all need to learn. We need to build stairs for them, all right? So, and sometimes new ones, a whole new family, unsafe, what do? You need to switch. You just cannot say, this is not a meeting for us old folks, old people to talk spiritual things. This is a meeting to meet needs. And sometimes this kind of a time is for the gospel, with a strong gospel element, even with question and answers. Wonderful, wonderful. With gospel singing, right? So the flexibility, this small gathering allows for that flexibility that a big meeting does not have. All right. So much material. You know, Bibles for America, with every Bible we give away, we also give the recipient a little booklet in how to use the recovery version. And in the back, if I remember correctly, there's a lot of the basic truths, the basic and the main truth in the Word, with the help of some verses and some appropriate footnotes. My goodness, you just take one of them each time, or take several times to cover one subject. How about the blood of Christ? Now, I don't mean you go through a class in that sense, but I do mean you meet the need, all right? Meet the need. Now, many of the churches now, you have a third meeting on Lord's Day. Am I right? A third meeting to teach the truth, to give the basic things to those who come. That's good. We have that to meet a certain need. But this is not that. This is in the home, of the in a group meeting setting and atmosphere. Okay. We need to learn to answer questions not in a doctrinal way, but in a living way. The best teaching always implies two things: highest revelation and the rich experience of life. Now, when they say highest, it's relative. Okay? I suppose most of the basic things we teach today, in comparison with the general, what is offered in Christianity, is high. But actually, they are very basic, very, especially to know the intrinsic aspects of these things, of these revelation and truths. Two, so again, brothers, we need to learn to speak the deep things with simple primary school level speech. All right? Rather than using esoteric terms and academic terms and deep terms that don't understand people, you just freeze people out. Learn to speak in a way that the deepest thing, the highest thing, learn of the Lord Jesus. His language is third grade language, but the truth is deep. So we need to learn even in how we present and how we speak. A lot to learn. Dear saints, a lot to learn here. Okay, the speaking of some Christian teachers is full of cleverness, eloquence, and good illustrations, but it is devoid of revelation and lacking in experience of life. We must learn to teach with the highest revelation and the richest experience of life. I'm going to finish E and I will end this meeting. The group meetings are our meetings. Do not abandon our own assembly together. Therefore, all the attendants in the group meeting must take care of the meeting. Everyone is responsible. We should not go to the meetings without a sense of obligation. If each person does not take care of the meetings will be poor. Each person in the meeting must be both a teacher and a learner. So even new ones, college age, that we are nurturing and shepherding and perfecting, if they grow up in this environment, they will even learn how to speak much, even when they're young. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? And by this way, dear saints, apart from the big meetings of the church, right, we would have a way to really perfect the brothers and sisters for the church life. Okay? I think this is good to end here. The rest you can read, and we can maybe cover it at another time. I turn the meeting back to you, brother.